Hello and a warm welcome to yet another episode of the Mission Shunya podcast. Hope you are doing well. If you are working or involved in the clean tech space, I'm sure there is no better time to be involved rather than now. A lot of stuff is happening around the world. As the year nearly comes to a close, it's time to revisit one of the biggest clean tech events of this year. Well, no prizes for guessing actually. It has to be COP26, which concluded in Glasgow a few weeks back at the time of this recording. In case you missed my earlier episode, episode number 67 to be precise, in which I discussed about the major expectations from COP26. Well, you can check that or continue to listen in on this episode. The two-week event was not short of any drama. Week 1 witnessed a slew of pledges from heads of major governments, as you would expect, most of which was centered around the theme of getting to net zero within a time frame. Interestingly, it also saw a lot of announcements of a different kind. A surprise package was a pact on cutting methane emissions. Well, methane emissions is another significant area, and it's as significant as carbon emissions. We also had a pledge to end deforestation by 2030, protecting nature, and so on. Most of which incidentally identified and aligned with the themes during the first week. As expected, the first week was all about commitments, which made the second week rather more important, and towards the end, we had the Glasgow Climate Pact. Well, the big conclusion is 1.5 degrees C is very much alive, but the pulse is very weak. The main target of 1.5 degrees Celsius temperature rise by end of the century has been kept alive, according to UK government officials who presided over the event. But other think tanks and policy experts looked at the net summary of pledges and feel that the total commitments could lead us to a 1.8 degrees C temperature rise. That's like 0.3 C more than the target. Again, in the context, the temperature rise reference is for the end of the century, so experts predict the temperature rise around the middle of century will probably cross 1.8 degrees Celsius, probably touch 1.9 and so, but towards the end it will decline. This is again in reference to multiple agencies, including the International Energy Agency, IEA. Well, when the Glasgow Climate Pact actually was announced, the big news was around the phased down language used when in reference to coal use. Well, again, this has been in the news for a long time now. It's actually being claimed that the Indian government was actually behind the phase down phrase, which actually replaced the phase out phase of the final Glasgow Climate Pact. But again, we should look at the positives. The very fact that coal was mentioned in a climate pact, it's itself laudable considering it has been the first time that coal was mentioned. So that's a big news. Well, there is this question of why is the word phase down a letdown when the ritual's commitment of 100 billion by 2020 didn't take off and is expected by only 2023 or 2025. The other big news is, of course, as I mentioned earlier, the Paris rulebook and Article 6 have been finalized. When we talk about Article 6, international trading, including carbon markets, has been finalized or rather approved. But although a few experts claim that it is not well defined, but nevertheless, it has been a long pending item from the Paris Climate Agreement of 2015. So what it does is actually permitting carbon offsets from one country or region to meet the shortfall in another country or region. So the trading across borders is possible. And as we have seen in recent years, with a lot of commitments coming from the corporate world, we will see a lot of trading from corporates in kind of meeting their net zero commitments. Also, in continuation with the pact, it also makes references to scientific studies and why we need to keep the temperature rise below 1.5 degrees C. So again, reference to a few studies of IPCC have been adopted in the pact, and that is a good sign. Any climate conference is never short of announcements around finance, and this time we had around like 450 firms representing around like $130 trillion worth of assets under the umbrella organization GFANS committing to shifting funds to green projects. Well, a lot of questions is being raised around this number committed by the former Bank of England Governor Mark Carney. But nevertheless, the number, if true, is a sizable number. To put this in perspective, a report by the Standing Committee on Finance at UNFCCC projects that the developing world would need around $6 trillion, including domestic funds, to meet at least half of their commitments that they pledge in the INDCs. By the way, if you wonder about who is the list of countries who actually have to provide funding, well, it goes back to the list or the OECD member list of 1992, which incidentally doesn't include the modern greats or the modern wealthy nations like the Middle Eastern countries and even for that matter South Korea. And talking of drama, in between all of this during the two-week event, we had like individual themes kicking on. Events like Transport Day, Energy Day, and even the massive Fridays for Future rally was a big success. And before we forget, in addition to the big Glasgow Climate Pact, there were also announcements and pacts related to shipping, aviation, and heavy goods vehicles. Well, of course, the language has to be tightened, but nevertheless, these were a set of firsts for this category of projects. So, what went missing? Well, again, a lot of experts claim Glasgow Loss and Damage Facility, that is a financial mechanism to help countries suffering from current climate change events, has not been put in place. A key aspect of fighting climate change is looking at both adaptation and mitigation. A big complaint by the experts towards the end of the pact was that it has been heavily skewed towards mitigation, in the form of investing in mobility, renewable energy, etc. But it has only one single reference in the paragraph around adaptation, that is building adaptation around like flood defenses and so on. So now that the COP26 is over and a largely successful event, so what's next at COP? We'll have an annual event in November 2022 and this time it'll be in Egypt and countries are expected to make firmer commitments, especially on the pledges. Countries are expected to declare pledges for 5-year periods, that is from 2025 and so on. So every 5-year pledge has to be around, say for example, 2031 to 2035 and so on. In line with the Paris Climate Agreement of 2015, which is now in place officially after the rulebook was finalized, we have another aspect to it, which is the first global stocktaking, which will happen in 2023, and then subsequently every 5 years this has to happen according to the agreement. And the 2023 event, by the way, will happen in UAE. Looking at how the events have panned out in the last few months leading up to the event, I think the biggest win is getting countries to commit to sending updated NDCs or INDCs, which is sort of a diplomatic pressure and it is likely to build up in the years to come. We should again remember that it is always tough for countries to come together to a consensus while at the same time appreciate that individually they have done their part by committing to net zero. Again, a host of countries have committed to net zero now, including India, which announced that it will get to net zero by 2070 during the conference. Finally, I will leave a few links in the show notes section and on the website missionjunior.com to read more about the in-depth analysis of the COP26 outcomes. One of them will be a review from Dr. David Reiner, who was a guest on the podcast, to be specific, on episode 48. I will highly encourage you to check them to get a holistic perspective of the grand issue at hand. I particularly like his argument on why we shouldn't blame India for watered-down text on coal, or rather expecting countries whose economy depends on fossil fuels to shut it down ASAP. Interesting points in there. So to draw to a conclusion, the Glasgow Pact will be a success only if promises are turned into action. And I hope it happens soon. Hope you enjoyed this brief podcast. I'll be back with yet another episode in 2 weeks' time. Until then, this is Girish Shivakumar signing off. And as always, thank you for listening.